Chapter 6, The Covering of Faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Ephesians 6:16.
Long before the advent of extreme sports, there was extreme faith. Indeed, the book of Job might well be dubbed extreme faith, for in its pages, the greatest man in the East experienced the ultimate test of faith. Job endured more tragedy in a single day than most people experience in an entire lifetime. In the span of a few hours, his servants were slaughtered, his possessions were stolen, and his sons and daughters perished in the carnage of a collapsing house. And that was only the beginning. Within days, his body was covered with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. His wife turned against him, snarling, "Curse God and die." And his friends savaged him with a series of insufferable speeches. "Surely God does not reject a blameless man," they shouted. Unbeknownst to Job, he was the subject of an extreme test of faith. God affirmed Job's faith as firm and faultless. Satan, however, assailed Job's faith as fickle and fleeting. "Stretch out your hand and strike everything he has," Satan hissed, "and he will surely curse you to your face." In the cosmic contest that ensued, Job responded with remarkable resolve. Emotionally, he was on a roller coaster, his mind desperately searching for answers. Yet, in the end, Job personified extreme faith by staking his fate and fortune on the trustworthiness of God. His eternal perspective, forever enshrined in the words, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." With a shield of faith in hand, Job was enabled to stand strong and steadfast against persecutions, temptations, and even the blasphemous thoughts Satan whispered in his ear. When all was said and done, the sinister serpent was able to scorch his shield, but unable to sear his soul. Little wonder, then, that in addition to truth, righteousness, and peace, Paul urges us to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. As the ancient shield enveloped the body, so faith envelops our entire being. When Satan attacks our head, the hand of faith holds fast to truth. When Satan attacks our heart, the hand of faith holds fast to righteousness. In fact, it might well be said that the shield of faith is the apex of the Christian's armor. It is the covering that protects not only the entirety of our bodies, but the covering that protects all the other pieces of the armor as well. Faith is a defense for all defenses. Every other piece of the full armor of God must inevitably operate in conjunction with faith. In the words of William Gurnall, faith is armor upon armor, a grace that preserves all the other graces. In ancient warfare, the shield was prized by a soldier above all the other pieces of armor. He counted it a greater shame to lose his shield than to lose the battle, and therefore he would not part with it even when he was under the very foot of the enemy, but esteemed it an honor to die with his shield in his hand. Faith is ultimately rooted and grounded in the nature of God himself. And nothing is more crucial to Christianity than a proper understanding of who God is. In Christian theology, he is portrayed as the sovereign of the universe. He is described as spirit, perfectly wise, self-sufficient, omnipotent, and omniscient. The Bible depicts him as the one who sees all and knows all from all eternity, the one who wields supreme and absolute authority. Thus, in biblical vernacular, faith is a channel of living trust, an assurance that stretches from man to God. In other words, It is the object of faith that renders faith faithful. Indeed, the greatest demonstration of faith is trusting God even when we do not understand. It is a sort of confidence exemplified by Job as he persevered in the midst of affliction, trusting God despite the whirlwind that threatened to blow his life into oblivion. Likewise, it is the trait most demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Paul, who not only fought the good fight, but also finished the race and kept his faith. His faith, like that of Job, was not fixed on his temporary circumstances, but on the trustworthiness of his Creator. The Faith Hall of Fame is filled with men and women who follow in the train of those who trusted God even when they did not understand. Those who, like Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, through faith conquered kingdoms, who have been tortured, jeered, and flogged, who have been chained and put in prison, stoned and put to death, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, yet were commended for their faith because their faith was fixed on God. Furthermore, the shield of faith is preeminent among the graces because it is forged from the finished work of Christ. Indeed, it may well be said that the shield of faith is fashioned from the blood-red fabric of Christ's righteousness. For it is the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness that replace the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness and give us the right to refer to God as our Father. As Paul explains it in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are no longer illegitimate children. Instead, they too are sons and daughters by adoption through faith in Jesus. Says Gernal, faith has two hands. With one, it pulls off its own righteousness and throws it away, as David discarded Saul's armor. With the other, it puts on Christ's righteousness to cover the soul's shame. The fabric of faith that serves to protect us in spiritual warfare is not to be confused with mere knowledge. Millions worldwide believe in the trustworthiness of Billy Graham. They've heard him proclaim the good news on television, and yet they do not believe that his message corresponds to reality. Thus, they have the knowledge that it takes to be saved, but they do not have saving faith. Others hear the message, agree that it corresponds to reality, but due to the hardness of their hearts, do not bow. Rather, like the demons, they continue to live in fearful anticipation of the judgment to come. Says James, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even demons believe that and shudder." Some, however, have what Scripture describes as genuine justifying faith, a faith that not only knows about the gospel and agrees that its content corresponds to reality, but a faith by which they are transformed. People with pneumonia may know about penicillin. They may even agree that penicillin has saved millions, but until they receive it, they demonstrate that they don't really genuinely believe in it. In like fashion, only those who receive the regal robes of Christ's righteousness are redeemed. Christ's righteousness is the covering. Faith is the hand that puts it on. Finally, the shield of faith is of paramount importance because it is the grace with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is not an uncertain promise. Rather, it is divine assurance that faith equips us to escape the very extremities of evil. Says John, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." The world fuels an unholy trinity. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. The shield of faith, however, extinguishes the flames. Faith focuses on the permanent pleasures of paradise rather than the pseudo-pleasures of the present. It binds the unclean eye that lusts after pornography or pelf, and it deadens the pride of life that covets praise from men more than praise from God. The eye of faith looks at life with eternity in mind. It looks back to Job, who blazed a trail of faith for all God's people who would follow. And looks forward to the promise of eternity when temptations will be no more. The tempter will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, and we will enter the golden city with divine assurance that nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the meantime, we can rest assured that in the sovereign plan of God, even the flaming arrows of the evil one are being forged into instruments by which the fabric of our faith is woven into an exquisite tapestry. Put another way, while Satan has sought to destroy the living tree, trying to uproot it, he has only been like a gardener, digging with his spade and loosening the earth to help the roots to spread themselves. And when he has been with his axe, seeking to lop the Lord's trees and mar their beauty, what has he been after all? But a pruning knife in the hand of God to take away the branches that do not bear fruit and purge those that do bear some, that they might bring forth more fruit.